Okay, Deacon Sullivan, open us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we start by praising you and thanking you for your love and blessings and grace, Lord. And we ask for a smooth transition home for the troops that are coming home, Father, from Syria and Afghanistan and all these other places. We'd like to see them get home, Lord, and we ask that you bring them home peacefully. Praise you again in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That's good. I'm glad you remembered to pray for our troops like that. Go home for Christmas. Well, let's see. Where do you want to begin in our Christmas carol book?
Page 17.
Okay. Which is Joy to the World, yes.
It's pretty easy to play on the piano.
Yeah?
Did you bring yours?
No, I can bring the amplifier too.
Well, sometime you're going to have to do that. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Okay, choir, what's next?
About page 19.
Oh, yes. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by heaven unadored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold he come, offspring of the favored one. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as men with men to dwell, Jesus, Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man may no more die, born to raise the sons of earth, Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Sean, why don't you pick one? Did you say
16? You didn't bring your keyboard. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was 17.
Hey, you want First Noel? The First Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east. Beyond them, far and to the earth, it gave a great light. Oh, yes. And so it continued both day and night. Noel, Noel, the born is the King of Israel. What are you laughing at? Yes, well, we'll get it this time. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to see, for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. The star drew nigh to the northwest, o'er Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay, right o'er the place where Jesus lay. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Okay, a little rough in a few spots, but... I read somewhere that one of the top songs on the chart by Mariah Carey. But
Christmas is you?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And very popular song, but not as popular as the regular standard Christmas carols that people request this time of year. How about It Came Upon a Midnight Clear? That's number four, page number 14 in your songbook. Yeah. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's a gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats over all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its mellow sound the blessed angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, my pilgrim queen of old. And the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace their King, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Okay, one more. We got to do Silent Night. Joseph Moore and Franz Gruber. The great 22. Story of that.
Huh? Page 22.
That's page 22. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn our dreaming in grace, Jesus Lord at thy birth, Jesus Lord at thy birth. Polaie, po kamahau, maluhia, malama lama, hamakuahine, alohae, meke keki, he molelie, moi meka maluhia, lani, moi meka maluhia, lani. That's Silent Night in Hawaiian. Okay, going to do something different here today than usual. So if you'll sit back and relax, so to speak, on this Christmas Sunday, December 23rd, 2018, just a stone's throw from saying January 2019. I want to title this The Date of Christmas. There's so much misunderstanding. I've had many Facebook requests for answers to a variety of things. And of course, people making their statements, isn't it pagan to celebrate Christmas? And was the date that it is, and so forth and so on, and all those disputes. This should probably clear up quite a lot of it, I would say. Date of Christmas. To understand how the date of Christmas was established, it's first necessary to determine the date of the conception of John the Baptist. King David divided the Levite priests into 24 family groups called courses, which took turns ministering at the altar in Jerusalem on a twice-a-year rotating basis. The sacerdotal rota system, as recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, the sons of Aaron, Eleazar, and Ithamar served as the priests with the help of Zadok, a descendant of Eleazar, and Ahimelech, a descendant of Ithamar. David separated them into divisions for their appointed order of ministering. In 1958, Israeli scholar Shemarahu Talman published research from the Qumran Dead Sea Scrolls, that's parchment number 4Q321, in which he was able to reconstruct the sacerdotal rota calendar, identifying the particular months of each family's course. The family of Abijah, from which descended Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, served from the 8th to the 14th day of the third month, and the 24th to the 30th day of the 8th month in the Israelite calendar. Translating this into the Roman calendar shows that during the reign of King Herod, the time Zechariah would have been ministering at the altar was the end of September, during the atonement of Yom Kippur, and therefore John the Baptist would have been conceived shortly thereafter. Of course, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, explained, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. When Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. All the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." The Byzantine Rite Church calendar celebrates September 23rd as the date of the conception of John the Baptist. 6 months after the end of September is the end of March, when Elizabeth, now 6 months pregnant, was visited by her younger cousin Mary. The liturgical calendar, therefore, celebrates March 25th as the Feast of Annunciation, as told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. Luke continued, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Therefore, if Zechariah ministered at the altar at the end of September, and Elizabeth conceived shortly thereafter, and 6 months later conceived by the Holy Spirit around March 25th, then 9 months after that is December 25th, the traditional date of the birth of Jesus. Now, what about the Christmas tree? Christmas tree's origins can be traced back to the 200 ADs when the early church father Tertullian wrote, you are the light of the world, a tree evergreen, if you have renounced the heathen temple. In the 6th, 7th, and 8th century, missionaries from Ireland, Scotland, and England evangelized Europe. It was during this time that the courageous Saint Boniface, 680 to 755, evangelized the heathen Germanic tribes. Also called Winfred, Saint Boniface left his home near Crediton, Devonshire in Britain, being sent by Pope Gregory II to be the apostle of the Germans. Just like St. Nicholas confronted paganism of the Greeks and Romans, and just like St. Patrick confronted the paganism of the Druids, St. Boniface on Christmas Eve in 716 confronted the paganism of the Germanic tribes. The pagan chieftain, Gudhar, was about to offer the little prince Aesop as a human bloody sacrifice to Thor, their feared pagan god of thunder, who supposedly lived in the huge Donar oak tree at Geismar. Thor is the namesake of Thor's Day or Thursday. Since Thor was a pagan deity, Quakers did not want to use that name, so they just referred to Thursday as Fifth Day. Another pagan god, Odin, or Woden, who is the namesake of Woden's Day, or Wednesday. St. Boniface boldly took an axe and after a few swings chopped down Thor's mighty blood oak. By some accounts, an enormous wind swept in and at that moment and helped blow the tree over. The heathen throng was in awe. They rejected their defeated pagan gods of Thor and Odin and converted to Christianity. Pointing to an evergreen tree that was next to the fallen oak, or that had miraculously grown up out of it, Saint Boniface declared, this is the word, and this is the counsel. Not a drop of blood shall fall tonight, for this is the birth night of Saint Christ, Son of the All-Father and Savior of the world. This little tree, a young child of the forest, shall be a home tree tonight. It is the wood of peace, for your houses are built of fir. It is the sign of endless life, for its branches are evergreen. See how it points to heaven? Let this be called the tree of the Christ child. Gather about it, not in the wild woods, but in your homes. There it will shelter no blood, deeds of blood, but loving gifts and lights of kindness. The evergreen tree became important to Germans as a remembrance of the defeat of the pagan god Thor by Saint Boniface, the apostle to the Germans. And it stood as the symbol of the German population converting to Christianity. The shape of the Christmas tree also convened a spiritual meeting, or meaning. Just as Saint Nicholas defended the doctrine of Trinity before the Arian heresy, and just as Saint Patrick used the three-leaf clover to teach the Trinity, Saint Boniface used the triangular shape of the evergreen tree to explain the Trinity. Germans hung the triangular-shaped evergreen tree from the ceilings of their humble homes as a Christian symbol of the Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. Now, lights on the tree. Martin Luther, who lived from 1483 to 1546, is credited with popularizing the tradition of putting lights on the tree. In 1520, Martin Luther was walking home on Christmas Eve under the cold December sky and noticed the countless stars illuminating the night. Luther returned home and, to the delight of his wife and children, set up an evergreen tree, placing a great number of small candles on its branches. He set up a creche scene under the tree so that the lights would appear as the stars above Bethlehem on the night of Christ's birth. An inspiration for the candles may have also come from the nearly 17 centuries of Jewish families placing Hanukkah candles in their homes at this time of year. Now, Kris Kringle. Martin Luther said that all gifts come from the Christ child, which in the old German was pronounced Kris Kringle, or Christel, Christ Kindle, later pronounced Kris Kringle. How about the poinsettia, or poinsettia? Another addition to Christmas decorations occurred in the early 1800s. In 1829, the first U.S. ambassador to Mexico was Joel R. Poinsett. He brought back a plant flower called Flower of the Holy Night, Flores de Nochebuena, which supposedly sprang up as a poor boy knelt to worship Jesus on Christmas Eve. Joel Poinsett planted it on his land in South Carolina, where it began to be called poinsettia. The first White House Christmas tree was in 1856 by President Franklin Pierce, who put up the first Christmas tree in the White House. And of course, Franklin Pierce was from New Hampshire, and we'd hope he used a nice New Hampshire tree. In 1862, President and Mrs. Lincoln visited soldiers in Washington, D.C., hospitals on Christmas Day. On December 26, 1864, Lincoln gave a Christmas reception at the White House. Civil War Christmas. President Jimmy Carter, in a speech seeking U.N. sanctions against Iran, December 21, 1979, commented on Christmas during the Civil War. Henry Longfellow wrote A Christmas Carol in a Time of Crisis, The War Between the States, in 1864. Two verses of that carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, particularly express my thoughts and prayers, and I'm sure those of our nation in this time of challenge. I would like to quote from that poem. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow not only wrote popular books and carols, but he was also a professor at Harvard, where he taught a student named Philip Brooks. Phillips Brooks, born on December 13, 1835, was the Episcopal Bishop of Massachusetts. While on a trip to the Holy Land in 1865, Phillips Brooks wrote, "After an early dinner, we took our horses and rode to Bethlehem. It was only about 2 hours when we came to the town, situated on an eastern ridge of a range of hills surrounded by terraced gardens. It is a good-looking town, better built than any other we have seen in Palestine. Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say the shepherds saw the star. It's a fence piece of ground with a cave in it, all the holy places are caves here, in which, strangely enough, they put the shepherds. And we passed. The shepherds were still keeping watch over their flocks or leading them home to fold." Phillips Brooks returned to Massachusetts in September of 1866 and wrote the carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And of course, a famous Christmas spiritual. I certainly remember it as a boy. Another Christmas carol of this era is "Go Tell It on the Mountain." One of the most popular Negro spirituals, it was first published in 1865 after the Civil War ended slavery in a collection compiled by John Wesley Work Jr. The song was recorded by notable singers including Mahalia Jackson, who once stated, "I sing God's music because it makes me feel free. It gives me hope. With the blues, when you finish, you still have the blues. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angels' chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lonely manger the humble Christ was born, and God sends us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." In 1865, William Chatterton Dix wrote the Christmas carol, "What Child Is This?" And of course, we have sung that, I believe. What child is this? What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Who angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, who shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring them, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. What lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the Lord, the silent word is pleading. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation bring, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high, the virgin sing her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. In 1867, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, visited the Holy Land as recorded in his book Innocents Abroad, published in 1869. In the starlight, Galilee has no boundaries but the broad compass of the heavens, and is a theater meet for great events, meet for the birth of a religion able to save the world. In 1885, Away in a Manger was published in a Lutheran Sunday school book. It was edited in 1892 by Charles H. Gabriel and set to music in 1895 by William J. Kirkpatrick. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay, close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. The official Christmas holiday, in 1836, Alabama became the first state to recognize Christmas Day as a holiday. Eventually, all 50 states recognized Christmas Day as an official legal holiday. On Christmas Day, 1868, President Andrew Johnson proclaimed full pardon and amnesty for all who had participated in secession without reserve or exception. In 1870, President Ulysses S. Grant signed a bill making Christmas Day a federal holiday. In 1880, Thomas Edison, inventor of the light bulb, strung electric Christmas lights on his Menlo Park laboratory. In 1882, Edward Johnson, who was Edison's partner in the Edison Illumination Company, assembled the first string of electric Christmas lights. As of 1893, Christmas Day was recognized as an official holiday in the U.S. states and territories. In 1895, President Grover Cleveland placed the first electrically lit Christmas tree in the White House. In 1923, President Calvin Coolidge turned on the 3,000 electric lights on the first national Christmas tree, located outside the White House on the ellipse of the South Lawn. Lighting the National Christmas Tree December 24, 1952, President Harry S. Truman stated, "Shepherds in a field heard angels singing, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men.' We turn to the old, old story of how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us remember always to try to act in the spirit of the Prince of Peace. He bore in his heart no hate and no malice, nothing but love for all mankind. We should follow his example. Let us also pray for our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, the world will yet be a better and fairer place." Praise the Lord. Let's pray. And we do pray that very same prayer that President Truman prayed so long ago. And we know that only through Jesus Christ the world will yet be a better and fairer place. And Lord, we've all been treated with injustice and unfairness this year that's about coming to an end, or last year and probably in the year to come. But we know that you are always fair, you're always just, and your grace and mercy flows from your throne. And we thank you, Lord, as great challenges in America today and throughout the world, that people remember that, yes, following Christ means to be peacemakers as best as we can, and what true peace really is. And we thank you, we praise you, Lord, in your name, glory to God. And we're willing to say to somebody, Merry Christmas.